This is Control Center from Mars. Can't wait to hear the Weather of the Mind podcast.
That's good.
Hey, hey, hey. Welcome back to the Weather of the Mind podcast. I'm your host, Doug Krish. I hope you're having a great day, a great week. And hopefully we can stop by and sit on a park bench or grab a coffee and or go for a stroll together. Or I can stand off to the side in your kitchen while you cook dinner and talk to you. Ha, ha, ha. Good to be with you. Good to be with you. Last weekend's episode, Wisdom Roulette, was interesting because I was working on another episode called Circle the Wagons. And I could not circle the wagons properly on the episode. And I was trying to pull it together, and I just couldn't get it to come together. So I pulled together a different episode about the Wisdom Roulette, introduce you to kind of game, wisdom game, I'm working on. And yeah, it was cool. But I wasn't very happy about that episode. When it first came out, I was thinking, that wasn't great, and I'm going to lose my audience, so I guess I just need you guys to be patient with me. We're going to have some great episodes, and once in a while, we're going to just, swing and a miss. But I got a lot of nice feedback, so I think I'm being my own harshest critic, which is very common, especially I think that's the way we raise people in this society, to be their own harsh critic. But then again, some people are quite the opposite and think they're batting 1,000. So I guess it's better to err on the side of being overcritical. But certainly in this podcast, we'll remind you many times to figure out a way to push yourself, but also be compassionate. You know, that's the fine balance. How do we push ourselves, but also say, hey, I'm trying to be a good person and I'm not a master at it yet. Maybe I won't be a master at it, but I'm just going to keep on going. So this weekend was really awesome. I had 4 guests come over to the studio for interviews. And these interviews are, so this weekend I conducted 4 interviews, and today I'm going to play about a 9-minute sample from one of them. And, you know, it's ongoing process, try to figure out the best path forward and the best way to present this podcast. You might hear a creaky chair in some of the interview clips. So I'm trying to figure out if that is a nice effect, or if it's not even noticeable, or if it's really annoying. I have this really beautiful rocking chair that I bought from the reuse shop. It's a, you know, classic wooden, black painted rocker. And that's where everyone sat for the interviews. And I thought it went really well. Everyone looked quite glorious and comfortable. And the insight and thoughts and reflections we got in these interviews was exceptional. But it takes a lot of energy, because if I'm going to interview someone, I am really present with them. And if I'm listening to the interviews and trying to pick out portions, it takes a lot of concentration. So I'm learning the process, and I'm just trying to share some of the insights and what I'm learning with you, because it's pretty cool. And you guys are part of the process. If you're listening and you're part of the exchange. I'm talking to you. We're hanging out. Well, yeah, okay. Yeah, we're hanging out. How you doing? You good? Cool. So what I'm trying to do with these interviews, and these interviews might be part of a bigger project called the Emotional Census, and those, I'm trying to ask a few core questions and then some more specific questions depending on what someone does in their day-to-day life. So, for example, we spun the wisdom roulette wheel and did a little freestyle. That was part of the interviews. I asked people what they thought of the term wisdom, and they think about wisdom. And I also asked all the people I interviewed what they thought about emotional health. What does that term mean to them? How would they define emotional health? So in this clip, so I'm trying to figure out the best way to present these interviews to you. And because they went long, they went somewhere from 40 minutes to an hour and 20 minutes. And I'm going to edit the best parts down, but still there might be 30 or 40 minutes of really rich stuff. So I'm trying to figure out the best way to share those interviews. So today I'm going to give a 9-minute slice. Adrian and I got into the topic of self-assessment and self-reflection and why that's important and how she had learned these skills and how she applies them. So let's play that clip and, yeah, give me some feedback. Let me know what you think of this interview, these interviews, and we'll keep the excerpts coming in the weeks to come, and we'll keep refining the process, living and learning. So let's jump in here into the middle of an interview from this past weekend with Adrian. Here we go. I'm going to start speaking with her about her thoughts on wisdom.
Do you think about the word wisdom, or what do you think about the word wisdom, or how would you define wisdom?
I think about metaphors. If you can glean a metaphor and like apply any kind of like experience to another experience, I feel like that is a very wise practice. I'm constantly thinking in like analogies and metaphors. So I think that I'm able to learn a lot from my life experiences because I'm able to kind of glean something from whatever I'm going through, or like remember back to a time when I did have a breakthrough in a similar area or a similar like feeling experience, can apply it to what I'm experiencing now.
Now, is that a skill you've learned or taught yourself, or is it part of you? Were you this way when you were 5?
I'm not entirely sure of that answer. I think I was given the chance to practice that from the time when I was in 4-H as a kid, because part of 4-H is like self-evaluation, and it's experiential learning. So it's project based in a lot of cases. So whether you're raising a rabbit or I did darkroom photography, like you're constantly, you're creating something, and then you're given the chance to evaluate, okay, what did you do well here? How could you do better next time? And so there was this habit of self-reflection was built in from a pretty early age. So that might have been the beginning of it, but I'm not sure if I started being more self-reflective earlier than that. I don't remember. But I think that might have been the advent of that in my life.
And do you remember how they taught you self-reflection in the 4-H?
Yeah. So like each project that we did or whatever it was that we were doing, like the ultimate goal was we were going to bring something to the fair to show, mm-hmm. right? So, I raised rabbits and mm-hmm. chickens and turkeys and guinea pigs, and I did, photography, and I did, like youth leadership stuff. All kinds of like different, I did sewing and any kind of thing that you could make a project out of, I was doing that. So ultimately you'd create a thing and you'd bring it to the fair, and then they would judge you on that. They would judge the thing and give you a ribbon. And part of submitting like your project was you had this self-evaluation form. Like you would describe like what the process was and what you learned, and you know, if there was anything you'd like to improve for the next time you did it, you'd elaborate on that. And so I learned how to like self-critique. Like I would do, for example, a sewing project and I could, you know, I would do a thing and I'd be like, yeah, you know, I made a mistake here, but I think that, the way I solved that mistake was I worked around it in this way or whatever. That was pretty, that was kind of like how the self-evaluation process, it was very formulated self-evaluation. Mm-hmm. But that formulation ended up being like just a habit.
Where yeah, you, it develops like a
you encounter. Yeah, you encounter your life in a moment, and then you come away from that experience, and you have a feeling about it, and you're like, okay, what can I do for this to not happen this way, or for this to happen again in this way? Right, like if you bump into life and it hurts, you kind of have to step back and be like, okay, what can I do in order for this to not hurt again?
Yeah.
And some, a lot of things you do that unconsciously and you kind of close off in one way or you're, you know, or you don't do it in a way that is helpful. You do it in a way that hurts your personality or hurts your heart really. And then you move on and you experience more things like that, that just kind of reinforce that for you. Yeah. I don't really know what else.
Yeah, that's fine.
I lost the question yeah. that you asked.
No, but you covered so much interesting things. I'm really intrigued to follow up and see how the 4-H is teaching self-reflection because mm-hmm. self-evaluation, because it's such a crucial skill. And mm-hmm. the earlier, the better we put these habits in. I mean, it's awesome. And I, you know, I said that one of the mottos I got on the weather of my website is keep learning, keep growing, you know, mm-hmm. that, and that you seem to fully embody that. Like, you're like, how do I learn from this experience? You know, mm-hmm. instead of getting really upset or really overwhelmed, positive or negative, you're like, mm-hmm. all right, let's see what I could learn. And I have the same exact point of view. And it's kind of awesome because it's like life is, I come out of a sports background. I don't mm-hmm. know. Do you?
No, really, no.
But my sports background is like very much like, all right, how am I, that talked about self-reflection. How am I going to, mm-hmm. how do I train? How do I get to where I want to be? How mm-hmm. do I set these goals and how do I meet them? And how do I deal with injury and the setback?
Yeah.
You know, and it's a daily, we trained for many years, you know, I ran cross country and track. So it was mm-hmm. like this daily ritual and
yeah.
you try to get stronger and you try to, you know, grow.
Yeah, yeah.
And accept that sometimes you're going to fall backwards.
Yeah, exactly.
You're going to fall backwards one a few days a week or a few months of the year, who knows? But right. you just try to do the best you can. And
yeah. But there's still an upward trend, right? Like even if you dip down,
oh, yeah.
it's usually the dip is still higher than the lower dip that came before it.
Yeah.
That's what I've found, at least.
I have found it as well, thankfully. Mm-hmm. Now, there have been some moments where I might slide back and you know, have a time where I'm, you know, very emotionally upset. But now I get to the point where I say, hey, listen, I know your brain is saying like, oh, like your projects are garbage and your stuff is going nowhere and
right.
your life's away, you know, all this negative talk. But now I realize mm-hmm. that just like I'm having really negative emotions and I should be like, all right, I'm not going to translate these into words.
Yeah.
I'm just going to like, you know, endure. I'm going to take care of myself. I'm going to cook some good food. I'm going to exercise. I'm going to sing. And in a day or two, I'm going to bounce back.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, like, when I was a youngster, you know,
mm-hmm.
youngster in this case, meaning mid-20s,
right.
I think I would be seduced yeah. in a way by the words that came out of these negative, you know, this anxious or depressed places.
Yeah.
So that's a big thing, like learn to separate those. And when are words useful and when are words not doing you any good?
Yeah, I like the way you put that because it reminds me of being a teenager. Like nobody really explicitly explained to me that, or maybe they did and I just didn't really get it. But, you know, how much your hormones are playing a part in the way you feel and the, you know, just being dehydrated can make you feel like garbage.
Absolutely, yeah.
You know, oh, am I hungry or whatever? Like your body kind of has its own gauges mm-hmm. and it translates as emotions sometimes, but, our mind can create this story or like attach like this external circumstance to how we're feeling. And it mm-hmm. has nothing to do with that. It's just this like, it's just a story.
Yeah.
It's just out there.
That's why it's been helpful to me. I mean, I've developed the weather of the mind, like a self-evaluation kind mm-hmm. of observing the weather of my own mind and giving a number 3 times a day. And I've done this for 2.5 years. And it's really helpful because now if I'm in a downward place, just being able to say, okay, I'm in like a negative five. It's kind of like checking the thermometer and be like, mm-hmm. okay, I need to wear a jacket today.
Right.
I'm at a negative five. I need to not make any big decisions today.
Yeah.
Or I need to exercise or sing, you know, or cook or hang out with a friend, you know. Being better at assessing where we're at and having a better response, that's preordained. You know, like when I'm in negative, when I'm in a downward spot, I am not going to start texting my old girlfriend, you know?
Right, yeah.
It's like, no, that's never going to lead to a positive place.
Yeah.
You're either looking for them to pull you out of it or you want to bring them down with you. So being aware of where you're at is really liberating because then we can work with it.
I used to be self-conscious about talking about assessment and strategy when we're talking about our emotional health or our general health, but I kind of feel that's the best approach. We can't just trust that anyone's going to take care of us and life's just going to be dandy because that's not how life works. And maybe throughout history, we had more emotional support and people around us, but we were struggling for make sure we had enough resources, food, shelter, etc. And now we struggle. We moved through a period where we have more wealth. We're not maybe struggling for the basics as much, although it seems that most of us are pretty much just getting by, so that's a debatable point. But there certainly is more of the emotional challenges. And we can go into the details at some point. You know, look at numbers of overdoses and suicides and people on anxiety and depression, medication. But I don't feel like I don't feel the need to prove this anymore. When I was working on a book in 2003 called Emotional Homelessness, I was really laying out that, you know, we have a crisis that we need to address. And but 15 years later, I feel like everyone's like, yeah, we're messed up. We gotta figure something out here. So I believe really strongly in assessment. In that clip, I referred to the weather of the mind charts. These are emotional charts that I've designed and keep, and I highlight them in the Weather of the Mind book, which I'll be re-releasing soon. I want to be rewriting a section about how I perceive the emotional charts, because I wrote the book before I religiously kept track of my emotions. Now I've charted on my emotions 3 times a day for 2.5 years just to see where I was at and see what I'd learned from the process. And it has been extremely grounding, and it's been a helpful tool, and it's something I want to share with everyone now. And I don't think it's for everyone, but it might click something in your mind. Ah, I'm going to try this a different way. I got some friends who the ideas of keeping track of their emotions by, you know, jotting a few numbers down every day is repulsive. But I said, hey, you know, just design your own system. Put some colors down every day, but just see how that ebbs and flows over time. Because if we don't have a baseline, then how do we start? I felt self-conscious when I wrote the Weather of the Mind book that people would really have resistance to this idea of bringing numbers into emotional health. But I'm, like I say many times, I'm from a sports background, and numbers are a great tool of assessment. You know, batting average and whatnot, winning percentage, these type of things are a way of seeing how you're doing. Now, with the emotional charts, I have to say I'm not like shooting like, oh, I'm gonna have a +5 today. No. It's an act of reflection. I live my day and do the best I can, and in the evening or the next morning, I'll say, let me think of how the day went emotionally yesterday. And it's fascinating. So I hope we've given you some good food for thought today. And Adrian, awesome ideas, awesome words. I want to follow up with that 4-H and try to figure out what they're teaching and how they're teaching it, and then highlight where people are finding healthy rituals, where people are finding healthy homes, healthy spaces, you know, physical spaces or just rituals and habits that are working for us? How do we nurture this habit of self-assessment? Because once we get that self-assessment going, then we can strategize and say, all right, you know, what do I want to try to do here? And then we can kind of see how we're handling, how we're responding to it. So that's all the time we have for today. Thanks again to Adrian. We'll hear more from her in weeks to come and more interviews to come. Please help this podcast grow. Share it with your friends and whoever might resonate with what we're trying to do here. And if you got an opportunity to give us a nice rating on the iTunes or the Spotify or wherever you receive this podcast, those ratings do well for getting us new listeners. So, you know, we're in a period of building. So please help us build and know that I wish you well. And I hope you have a peaceful and inspiring week. Take care. Bye-bye. Thank you.